Appreciate the opportunity Dr. Custer has given me to preach Scripture this evening. This is a very exciting time for me here at Trinity. I think probably as excited and expectant about blessing and future blessing and thankful as I have ever been since I've been here at Trinity. My wife and I had the privilege of coming here in 1986. In 1986, the auditorium wasn't finished yet, not this auditorium, but our previous auditorium. We were meeting on folding chairs on concrete, some of you remember. Back then, you would walk into the church setting there. There were no ushers were needed. We had not many chairs, and there were more than enough to go around. It was in a white farmhouse that we were going to Sunday school. That white farmhouse, I think, would just about touch the front of this wall or similar. That was where the church originally began, and we were then using it for Sunday school rooms. And it was in that white farmhouse that Nancy and I started teaching teen Sunday school. We taught the combined junior high, senior high class. We were averaging one in attendance. Occasionally, we would have two or three, and we would get excited because we thought, wow, this is really good. And those days weren't that long ago. There, of course, were not many people here. Things were different then. And now it's 2002, and we're meeting in this beautiful auditorium that is now complete with Sunday school rooms up and down each wall with a beautiful instrument here that we use in our worship of God, with new office space, with the lovely lobby. Everything's bricked together. Some of you newer people may not realize that really we're in two different buildings, but since we bricked them all at once, it just looks a little bit nicer. And we have such nice facilities. Of course, the chapel is finished, and we're now having the opportunity to use that for the Spanish ministry every Sunday morning as well as for other things. And we've had enough people in our youth program that we've been able to divide junior high and senior high and to do some activities separately. And Brother Joe Provenzano leading the junior high ministry, and my wife and I still being able to work with the high schoolers. Children's church in the morning, children's church in the evening, a new building out back that we call the youth building that we've been putting to good use. Sunday school classes that have multiplied, a Bible club outreach that is doing well. Now an additional nursing home ministry in addition to one that's been going on for quite some time. We have a secretary who's now on staff. We have a website that is up. We have the appointments that Dr. Custer had mentioned in passing, and there's a letter on the way out that you might want to get if you weren't here this morning, but some of you I know are wondering what that is. Pastor Custer has asked Dr. Ward Anderson to serve now as an assistant pastor, and some of our people are new, Ward, so if you wouldn't mind just standing up for a second just so you can see who Dr. Anderson is, and we appreciate his faithful ministry here. This whole time we've been doing this, we've been increasing our missionary support, and we've been able to take on new missionaries. We've been able to pick up the Lords for missionary support in England, recently the McPhails in Cambodia, Dale Crawford and his family here at the GFA office, and looking to increase this type of outreach. Had the privilege just 2 weeks ago of being handed a doctrinal statement from one young missionary couple here that are in the process of making application. They asked me to review their doctrinal statement. A second missionary couple gave me theirs today. A number of our younger people looking to go out and to be involved in missions, other full-time services. We've had the opportunity to purchase 3 acres of property that border us in the back with a house there that we now have rented out and are excited about some of the possibilities that we have in the future for that we'll be letting you know about, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future. This may seem like a small thing, but this last Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago, I think, that we better start doing visitor cards on Wednesdays because we have more visitors coming to hear Pastor on Wednesday evening than we used to on Sunday as a rule. And I've heard Pastor put it this way, we've maybe crossed a line from going to a small church to at least a medium-sized church. And it's certainly an exciting thing to be part of the ministry here at Trinity, to have people joining regularly, to have Brother Francisco here, our first gentleman joining who actually came initially for our Spanish ministry, and the first gentleman to join from that ministry. We're excited about Orange leadership in that ministry and what's taking place over there. And we're thankful. And of course, as we grow, we're going to have to start to make some decisions about which way we will grow and what we will spend our time focusing on. And how do we make decisions like this? I'm talking about things as basic, for example, when would we pave our parking lot and should we pave our parking lot? And that certainly, I think, would be something that would please many people. We've had it suggested that maybe we should put a cover over the sidewalk so that as people come into our church when it's raining, it would be a little more convenient. Others have said, no, before we do that, why don't we go out and build a new building out back, a metal building that we could use for outreach ministry, for basketball, so that we can have our fellowships here on our own property and also gain some storage space and some more Sunday school rooms. Others have said, no, maybe we should be thinking about a new auditorium. Is that the next step that we should be considering? Or should we be thinking, no, maybe it's time to start ideas of planning a different church, maybe a satellite church, and just keep our present facility as this is as far as we go. We have the new property that has one house on it. What will we do with that house? There's enough room easily for two more structures. And do we think long term about perhaps maybe a parsonage, perhaps maybe some type of home or duplex for missionaries who come off the field and would have an opportunity to stay there as our guests, as our ministry and encouragement to them? We've had people suggest, is it maybe time to start a children's ministry? Is it time to maybe run a bus and start picking up some of the students at BJ who don't have transportation? These are difficult questions. And this is what we're being faced with. And how do we make such decisions? How do we know what the next step is? What is the future of Trinity Bible Church? How do we ascertain God's will for this ministry? Well, certainly one way is for us to slow down, to take a little bit of time out, and to focus, and to ask ourselves, what is the mission of Trinity Bible Church? Because if we don't clearly differentiate, if we don't clearly enunciate our mission, then basically what we're going to do is whatever happens to seem right at the time. And what you think is right may be different than what I think is right. And of course, that leads to conflict and disunity. But if we can begin by sitting down and saying as a church, what is our mission? Why are we here? Then every time we're faced with a decision, we as the body of Christ can stop, slow down, and make that decision in light of the parameters that we've established. And that's why this evening, I hope it's the case, when you came in, you were given a copy of our brand new church brochure. And I'd invite you to take that out. Because on our church brochure, you'll see the front cover there, Trinity Bible Church. And if you open up, you will see inside the statement across the top, Trinity Bible Church, our mission is. And this tract was set up very specifically to help all of us have focus on what our mission has been, what our mission continues to be, and by God's grace, what our mission always should be. And that is, number one, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, encouraging those who know Christ. And number three, evangelizing those who need Christ. That is the threefold mission of Trinity Bible Church. This pamphlet was not set up this way just because it sounded nice or the statements were somewhat parallel. We set it up with this type of outline with a very definite purpose, to help all of us to realize why we're here and where we need to continue to progress. Tonight's message is simply the mission of Trinity Bible Church. My 3 points you already know: exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging those who know Christ, and thirdly, evangelizing those who need Christ. And on the bottom of that pamphlet, as you open up, you see a passage mentioned in Revelation chapter 4. Let's begin, please, by turning to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. What is the ultimate priority of Trinity Bible Church? What should be the ultimate priority of any church? Certainly it should be praising our God, worshiping our God, exalting our God, glorifying our God, honoring our God. The reason we came here this evening is not really about you, and it's not really about me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather together as the people of God to worship Him this evening. Now, some of you are familiar with at least one proposed outline of the book of Revelation taken from chapter 1 in verse 19. And if you follow that threefold division as it's described there, you know the third part of this book begins in chapter 4. A peek into things to come. A peek into the very throne room of heaven. And what do we find in chapter 4 of Revelation? I'll begin reading in verse 1. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. He who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Many people would suggest that these 24 elders represent the people of God, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, and that certainly may be the case. Verse 5, out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and watch this, day and night. They do not cease. 24/7, around the clock. And here's what they say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. What's going on in heaven? It's praise to God. How often? Constantly. All of the time. That's what's happening in heaven. And these four living creatures again and again and again singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Obviously, the whole focus is on God. And you might be thinking, well, no, what about the 24 elders? Let's start reading in verse 9 and find out. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created." What do we see? We see a focus on God. We see the worship of God. We see God's people surrounding the throne. He is the center point of attention, and it is nonstop, continual praise of God. The ultimate purpose of any church, the ultimate purpose of our church, must continue to be the worship of God. We don't come here primarily for any other reason than to sing praises to our God. Now, sometimes you might be thinking, wow, I wish there was something more. I mean, isn't there something more than praising God? I had a man once say to me, and he's a professing believer, I hope he knows Christ. He said, "Greg, don't take it personally, but this thing about being in heaven and worshiping God all day, I'll be honest with you, sounds to me like it's going to get real old real fast." And I tried my best to understand where he was coming from. And the best I could understand, that was the comment of someone who just really didn't know his God. Because to really know how wonderful God is would be that that would never occur to you. Because what else would one want to do in eternity except to worship our God? Because He alone is worthy of our worship. That's what it says right here in the Scriptures in verse 11. Worthy are you. The reason we can spend eternity worshiping our God is because He's worth it. He's worth it. You think about all the things that people worship, and it's not worth it. I maybe have even mentioned this before. My former neighbor, he's no longer living next to us, but he was a diehard Clemson Tigers fan. And he was a wonderful neighbor, and I enjoyed living next to him very much. But he took his Clemson Tigers seriously. In fact, when I asked him why he moved, he told me he's moving to get closer to Clemson. That was his main reason in moving, just to cut down on his mileage. I always knew when Clemson was playing in Death Valley, because very early Saturday, his SUV would pull out of the driveway, slowly, past the orange and purple azaleas. He told me he plants nothing but orange and purple. Those are Clemson colors. Okay? I once teased him and asked him if the purple represented Furman. Okay? He didn't talk to me for a while. Okay? He was offended at that. All right? And his SUV would have a tiger paw on the passenger's door, on the driver's door. It would have the two flags, and then it would have a large tail coming out the back. And he would drive slowly. You know, he didn't just pull out. This was solemn, okay? This was important. He would pull out slowly, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning. I assume he was heading to a tailgate party. Usually games would start, I assume, at 1 o'clock or so. And I would sit back, and I have no problem with that. If you would choose to do that, that's fine. But if you said to me, Greg, would you do that? I would say no. And if you said why, I would say because it's not worth it. Why would I do that? I'm a sports fan, but there's no sports team that's worth that kind of devotion. Some of you went to bed early last night, earlier than you go to bed on Friday night, because you wanted to be up a little bit early this morning. Because you wanted to spend a little bit of time in the Word this morning. Because you wanted to have time to put on nicer clothes than you normally wear this morning. Because you wanted to get the family ready to have everyone here in Sunday school this morning. And you wanted to have your heart prepared and your family prepared to worship God. And you spent your morning here worshiping our God. And you even stayed late. You didn't take off, but you stayed late just to try to find if there was someone you could encourage as part of your worship of God. And then you went home and were maybe even a little pushed because you wanted to make sure you were back here in time. You did it all over again. You came back here to worship your God. And you'll get home a little bit late this evening. And it may be that your neighbor is looking at you and thinking, man alive, you spend almost the whole day at church. Why do you do that? And the answer is clear. Because God is worth it. God is worth our worship. He's worth it. If you did this for Clemson, I would say it's not worth it. If you did this for someone else, I would say no way, it's not worth it. But Jesus Christ is worth it. And so we gather together as the family of God, and what do? We worship Him. That's why we're here. That is our primary purpose. That is the reason we exist, to sing praises to our God. Never been really musical per se. When I first got saved, I used to think, why don't they just cut the music, get rid of everything, let's just get in there and hear the pastor preach, because that's what I want. See, I didn't realize yet what was involved in worship. I appreciate Eric so much as he at least figuratively reaches over the pulpit on Sunday mornings and says, come on, guys, we've just sang holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and I'm looking at your faces, and you don't look like you're worshiping your God. And he's appealing to us, and he's reminding us, and I appreciate that. Because it's not just an empty ritual, let's go to church and sing a few songs and get ready and kill some time. No, we come here to worship our God in our singing. In our giving, that's what should be the touchstone of every decision we make. How does it impact the worship and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the main reason we exist, to exalt Jesus Christ, not to prosper financially. You know, I think it's interesting. Some of you know the difficulties we've had in this church building. We've had a roof that was in ill repair when we first were here. We went to our builder and said, "Would you please fix it?" And he said, "I don't believe that is something that I need to do." What did we do? We hired basically an engineer to come up with a plan to fix our roof. And we got bids. And I don't remember the exact amount, but the bid was somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 to fix what the builder didn't do right the first time. You say, "Were you going to do that?" Yes, we were. You say, "Why don't you just take them to court?" Because we don't think that would be exalting our God. So we simply decided we'll raise the funds and we'll do it. It's not a problem. See, we don't make decisions here primarily on a financial basis. Our goal is not just to raise money. Our goal is not to increase attendance. I'm not saying if the church does it different than us, it's wrong, but you'll notice we don't have a little plaque on the wall that tells you how many people we had here. Nor do we post attendance figures every time we meet in the bulletin. We don't have goals for attendance here at Trinity. Our attendance may be strong, praise God. Our attendance may drop, praise God. Either way, we come to worship our God. And not to see how many people we can fit into this church. That's not what we're here for. We're here to worship our God. Now, you might say those are obvious, okay? Let me hit maybe one or two that are not so obvious. Our primary goal here is not to evangelize the lost. That is not the primary reason we are here. Many well-meaning men stand up at pulpits and say the whole reason we're here is to reach the unsaved. That is not true. If our whole goal is to reach the unsaved, guys, we can do it a whole lot better, and I know how. All we have to do is get a rock band in here. All we have to do is start going to a Friday night, come as you are, seeker service. There are easy ways to gather a crowd to witness to people. But we don't do that. Because our number one goal is not even reaching the unsaved. Our number one goal is to bring glory to our God. And we are firmly convinced that for us to have a rock band up here and to have a Friday night come as you are service would not worship our God. And that's number one in what we do. Nor is our number one goal to even encourage God's people. Our main objective is not to help you, primarily. It is to worship our God. Because worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Can I suggest that in every decision we make as a church family, as a church body, we begin by asking one question: how will this impact the worship of our God? That is the starting place. That is the mission of Trinity Bible Church. Number one, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, and you see this in your pamphlet there, if you still have it open to that middle sheet, Trinity Bible Church, number two, our mission. And I guess I could call this our intermediate mission: to glorify God by encouraging Christians. And you notice there's a passage there from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. How do we worship our God? One way we worship our God is to build up the saints, is to encourage one another, is to see people grow in Christ's likeness. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, we see some of the gifts that God gives to the church. It says in verse 11, Ephesians 4, "And he that is God gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." One designation there, the pastor-teacher. You say, why do we have these people in the church? Verse 12 tells us, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up or edification of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man." What we're doing here at Trinity is seeking to encourage believers to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you wanted to get built up physically, some of you perhaps do, would go to a gym and you would work out and you would lift weights. But if you want to get built up spiritually, what do you do? Well, hopefully you would come and worship with us at Trinity Bible Church and be encouraged in your sanctification. Our goal here at Trinity is to help believers advance in their sanctification. That involves many things. That involves fellowship. I mentioned this morning, I think, we had our 6 at 6 meeting last night, and just a wonderful time of fellowship. I believe it was this past Saturday that a number of you participated in the Young at Heart meeting. You say, why do you have Young at Heart and 6 at 6? Well, just because we kind of think that, you know, life is short. And no, we have it because we want to encourage each other. There is a theological reason why we have the 6 at 6 fellowship. There is a theological reason why we have the Young at Heart. There is a theological reason we have a junior high ministry, a high school ministry, a college and career ministry, and we want to encourage God's people. We've recently increased our Sunday school classes, so now there's 3 adult classes to choose from. Why? We're hoping that more of our people will come to Sunday school, because our purpose is to encourage those who know Jesus Christ. In fact, when we came into this new building, one of the things we had to make a decision about, maybe this will be an illustration to make this practical, we had to decide, what do we do about time? Our Sunday school was starting at 10 o'clock. We have a number of people here at Trinity Bible Church who are employed at Bob Jones University, and they have to be on campus at 11 o'clock, which means they can't come to Sunday school. So the question comes up, do we move our Sunday school to 9:30? What would most encourage saints to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? For them to have the opportunity if they would choose to come to Sunday school. So the question is presented, should we change Sunday school to 9:30? If it would help in the encouraging of saints to grow to be more like Christ, let's do it. You say, you may have to get up earlier. That's right. Which means you might even have to go to bed a little earlier. That's right. Which means I have to put myself out for these people. Yeah, that's right. And that's what we're here for, is to see people grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we change the time. Next Sunday, will we change the time of the evening service because of the Super Bowl? No, because there's nothing edifying necessarily about watching a football game. But our priority is to encourage Christians to grow. And to grow towards what? Well, it says here in the text, to grow until we come to the place where we become what? Verse 13, a mature man. We are supposed to be encouraging people in Christ-likeness. By God's grace, may it always be true that anything you are ever encouraged to do is merely to help you grow in Christ and for no other reason. Now, you know we've been doing our best to encourage you to come to the wilds with us. We believe it will help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that's biblical. We make no apologies for that. But there are many things we don't encourage you in. We are not here to push a certain view on politics. We are not here to try to get you to somehow become a Republican rather than a Democrat. We're not here to get you somehow to oppose the IRS and to be a fan of tax reform. You may have strong beliefs about that personally. That's fine. We don't present those publicly here at Trinity Bible Church. Because whether you're a Democrat or an Independent or a Republican, whether you're for a flat tax, a countrywide sales tax, or keeping the same code we have, you're welcome in our church. We have no desire to push allegiance to any educational institution. Many of you are affiliated with Bob Jones University, as Pastor Custer and myself are. That's fine. Some of you attend Bob Jones University. That's fine. Some of you attend Greenville Technical College or other schools. That is wonderful, and we trust you'll be a good testimony there. Some of you will decide to go to a different Christian school. That is wonderful. You are welcome in our church, because we are not here to try to get you to put your kids in a certain Christian school, nor a public school, nor to homeschool. That is a choice for you to make. And we don't push any individual view on that. But we do push becoming like Christ. And every one of us should be growing in Jesus Christ. Pastor Custer's theme verse is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 for the month, right? And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be trusting that he who began a good work in us will continue to help us grow to become more and more like Jesus Christ until the day of Jesus Christ. You may have certain views on anything from the NRA to gun control to local zoning issues, and we make no statement publicly in any of those areas. We address nothing political unless it's a moral issue. And thus you have heard us stand up and oppose homosexuality, and you've heard us oppose abortion. Because where it's a moral issue, as a church, we take a stand. But in political issues, we have nothing to say because we are not here to shape your view of politics. By God's grace, we're here to encourage you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the second reason we're here, to encourage all of us to grow. And can I say one more thing before I leave that point? You need to grow, and I need to grow, and every one of us has a life that in some way is tore up by sin, and we need to grow. And we are all people who are very far from where we need to be. And I suppose one of the things that discourages me sometimes, I had it happen just this week, is occasionally I'll talk to somebody. Maybe a wife will say to me, "Greg, you don't know how incredibly far from God my husband is." And I'll say, "Well, I just talk with him." And she'll say, "No, because if he knows that you know what's going on in his life, he'll leave the church because he can't handle anybody knowing what's going on in his life." And I think to myself, how sad. I mean, it's to be expected that in this sinful world with the sinful flesh that we struggle. And I fear that sometimes we tend to look around and everybody looks kind of together and nice and dressed up and we think I'm the only one that has problems. Pastor Custer has said many times, our church is a hospital, it's not a museum. It's not a place where you need to arrive at a certain level and then, yeah, you're here, good for you. It's a place where all of us need help. And over the years, we've had people struggling with major issues, struggling with adultery and homosexuality and spousal abuse and gambling and leaving their families. We don't publicize that. I wish I could say it's rare. It's not. And you know what? That's why we're here. We're here to help. And when you come to Pastor Custer and say, "Dr. Custer, please, can we talk about the fact that something terrible is happening in our family?" He doesn't judge you. And if you would choose to come to me, I don't judge you. Because when someone tells me, "Greg, my life is a complete mess," why would I be surprised? Because I am desperately in need of the grace of God as much as you are. I don't judge you. I rejoice that you would want to look for help from God. And so as you would struggle, as your family would struggle, as your friends would struggle, I hope you remember that one of the reasons we're here is to glorify God by encouraging the saints, whatever that means for you. And whatever you're struggling with today, you're welcome to worship with us. You're welcome at Trinity. You don't have to measure up to a certain level until you come. All you have to do is have a desire to love Christ, and we welcome you to worship with us, encouraging those who know Christ. And finally, number three, what is the mission of Trinity Bible Church? Well, again, if you open up your pamphlet and look at the right-hand side, Trinity Bible Church, our mission is evangelizing those who need Christ. We are here to proclaim the message that Jesus Christ saves. And that just as Christ has saved you from a life dominated by sin, even though you would struggle as I do, Jesus Christ will save anyone who will come to him. And you notice on the track, perhaps if it's open, you have John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And that is the gospel message. But I invite you to turn to one text here, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And as Christians, perhaps a verse that is applicable to us and how we go about spreading the good news of John 3:16. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Some have suggested a plan of evangelization for the church. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ right at the time of his ascension. And in verse 8 in Acts chapter 1, he promises these followers, these believers, that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. But notice what he says, and I think you're familiar with this, both in Jerusalem, that's where they were at the time, in old Judea, the broader surrounding area, Samaria, which would be up to the north, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Where do we start with evangelism? We start right here. We start with us. And so at Trinity Bible Church, we have a track in the back. And many of you are faithful in taking tracts, and that's wonderful. And we have a deacon, and one of his jobs is simply to make sure that the tract rack stays filled. And we hope that you'll continue to take tracts. I had a blessing I'll share with you. I was out with one of the brothers from the church here this past week fellowshipping, and he said, you know, God's really been burdening me to be more faithful in witnessing. I have salespeople call on me frequently, so I've made a decision. Every time a salesperson comes to me, I don't care who he is, he gets the gospel. I've made that vow with God. And I've begun praying, Lord, if there's anybody out there that needs the gospel, you just send them to me, because they're going to get the gospel. I have promised you that. And here I am with the brother, you know, thinking I'm going to try to encourage him to grow spiritually. This guy is encouraging me, because he has that evangelistic heart. We appreciate that. We have our nursing home ministries that are going on, that same type of outreach. We have that Spanish church that we've begun. Why do we have a Spanish church? To see people come to Christ. And we have had people come to Christ. You say, Greg, is that costing us anything to do that? Maybe a little bit. We buy hymnals. We buy Bibles. It's costing a lot of time. You say, why are we doing that? Because we believe God is honored when the Word of God goes out. We have Bible clubs. We've been asking from the pulpit, are there families that would be willing to take one of the young Bible club children to the wilds with them? And you might say, well, why would I want to invite a child that I don't know to come with my family and interrupt my family? It's very simple, because one of our goals in life is not to have uninterrupted family time. One of our goals in life is to see people come to Christ. And that's why we encourage you to step forward and say, yes, I would love to have the privilege of having a young child join my family to the wilds. You put a lot of time into Vacation Bible School. We have people at this church who take their vacation so they can spend a whole week ministering in our Vacation Bible School. We have people who put a lot of personal effort and money into Vacation Bible School. And some of the kids come and they don't appreciate it. I know that. And some of you come and help us pick them up and they tear your cars up a little bit. I know that. They do that to mine too. And some of our people say, Greg, you know, what do you think about this? We have this outreach here, and is it worth it? Is this the right thing to do? I mean, why do we even bring these kids here? You want to know why? It's because we're here to do that very thing, to bring glory to God through the evangelization of the lost. And our kids get edification every Sunday morning in children's church, every Sunday morning in Sunday school, every Sunday night in Sunday night children's church or here. Our kids have special meetings every Wednesday night back here. And you mean for 1 week we can't set aside some time and some money and some effort and reach out to the kids who don't go to church? And maybe our carpet gets a little bit stained and maybe it's a little bit of a hassle. Praise God. I wish we had more stains on our carpet from little kids hearing the gospel, because that's why we're here. We're here to evangelize because we believe it glorifies God, but not just here, not just locally, but we try to evangelize internationally. I pulled out a proposed budget for 2002, and I took a look just recently at what our budget is like here at Trinity. Our budget is roughly $200,000 a year. We have 40% of that going to missions. We have over $80,000 this year budgeted for missions. Last year, in addition to that, you guys gave an additional approximate $40,000. That's above what was budgeted. Which means if we as a church just give the same amount this year, we are going to send out $120,000 in missions. You say, Greg, I bet you that could pave the parking lot. I think it could pave it twice, okay? You say, well, then why don't we not do that and just pave the parking lot or build a building or do something else? Because that's not necessarily what we're here to do. We're here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world. And that's why we have roughly 40% of our budget going to missions. Why? Because we believe our God is exalted and honored when we evangelize those who need Christ. Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. Guys, this is why we exist. If we don't do this, we have no purpose. We're like I normally don't name churches, but this one's beyond apostate, so I'll name it, we would be no better than the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship that's not far from here on State Park Road, where every Sunday they get together and have a lecture on why they don't go to church on Sundays. And they talk about why they don't believe in God like everybody else who gets together Sunday morning. I find that odd. Let's get together every Sunday and talk about why we don't believe everything. I mean, really, if you're going to be an atheist, go fishing, you know? And that's what they do. It makes no sense to me. But you know what? And you know this. There are churches that maybe aren't that bad, but they're not good. Because they've lost their focus and they got off track. And so that is why tonight when you came into church, you were handed a brochure. Trinity Bible Church. Our mission is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. Of course, we have a brief plan of salvation on the back. This is why we're here. This is why we exist. In conclusion, our mission must continue to be biblical, to seek to put Jesus Christ above all else. Number two, our mission must continue to be balanced, to realize that God is glorified when saints are edified and the lost are evangelized, but still the main issue is glorifying our God. Number three, we must continue to make every decision in light of our mission. And when it comes time to decide when and where and if to build, we all need to pray fervently in light of these three issues. And then can I say one final point that may seem a little different? Number four, we must be flexible in things that are not intrinsically related to our mission. For example, you've noticed when you came in last Sunday that our chairs were rearranged. We used to have one center aisle. We now have two aisles. I didn't know that was going to happen. I came in and one of the gentlemen said, me and another brother from the church changed the chairs. What do you think? It's fine with me. I have no problem. You say, you think it's great? I think it's wonderful. You say, what if they change it back? I think it's wonderful. You say, what if they alternate? I think it's wonderful. Because you know what? No matter how we put our chairs, we can glorify God, edify the saints, and spread the gospel to the lost. So as we focus on what we're here for, let's make sure we don't get into disagreements and have a lack of harmony and unity. Let's make sure that we keep focused on honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and making that the mission of Trinity Bible Church. By God's grace, may it continue to be so. Let's pray. Father, we marvel and are so thankful that you are such a good God. Lord, we are not worthy to be your children, and yet we are. You've called us into your kingdom. Lord, we are not worthy to have our sins forgiven, and yet we do, as we've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not worthy to have the privilege to come and worship as we do, and yet we have the privilege to live in a country with freedom, to own property, to be able to have nice facilities where we can worship you. And Father, we thank you for this. We thank you that we can gather together and seek to encourage one another. We thank you that we can serve you here at a ministry that seeks to help believers grow as we would seek to honor you, and that seeks to see the lost come to know you as we would seek to honor you. Father, we're worthy of none of this, and yet you have blessed us. You have given us the incredible, incredible privilege of being part of this ministry. Father, thank you. Thank you for the wisdom of men in the past that have laid the foundation that we now build on. Thank you for providentially bringing us a pastor, Dr. Custer, who has faithfully, continually, for a very long time, preached your word accurately and truthfully, and been a blessing to us and a help to us and an encouragement to us. Father, thank you for everyone who serves. Father, for those that are elders and deacons, for those that are nursery workers, for those that are ushers and children's church workers and Sunday school teachers, to the men who sit out and miss preaching so they can count our offerings, to those who give of their weekends to take care of our grounds. Father, to those who maybe can do none of that and yet give generously to your work. To those, Father, who simply take the time to spend a few minutes to encourage us and help us because they love you. Father, for every single one who serves you here, we thank you. We thank you that we can fellowship with them, that we can know them. We thank you even for the new members you brought us this evening. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of being able to reach out in new ways. We thank you for the challenges that are ahead of us. Father, thank you for the wonderful God that you are. And Father, may we always be a church that brings you happiness, that gives you joy, that you are pleased with. Father, may it always be so. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.